Good evening, everyone, and welcome to RCN Sports Talk presented by The Morning Call. I'm Chris Michael. We're glad you could join us for a full hour of live sports talk on RCN TV. And, of course, we're going to be talking a little bit college football coming up later in our program with a very special guest. But for the most part, it's going to be high school wrestling on tonight's program. So let's welcome in our studio guests and our wrestling experts for the next 60 minutes. From the RCN Sports Department, wrestling analyst extraordinaire, Mr. Jim Best. Okay. And the wrestling expert at The Morning Call, Mr. Tom Haustick. Gentlemen, thanks for being here.
Thanks
for carrying the program in advance. Because I'm not a wrestling expert, and our co-host didn't even bother showing up today because he knows nothing about wrestling. So I've known Keith for 20 years. I was finally excited to see him actually have a conversation about wrestling, and he calls me up and goes, I'm going to skip this week. I'll see you next week. So Keith is off this week. He'll be back next week, but it's all wrestling. So, gentlemen, thanks for coming in. Before we talk about the nuts and bolts, the big EPC championship, and all the tournaments that's coming up on Saturday, we'll have the championship with Jim and Scott Barr on Saturday. But I just want to kind of get your thoughts on the wrestling season overall. Jim, you were on our show about 13 months ago. And if you remember, at that time, there was a lot of angst, a lot of anxiety about the changes, the format, the EPC challenge day is never going to work. The whole thing's going to fall apart. This team isn't playing that team. The schedule's a disaster. And then as we got closer to the EPC challenge and everyone kind of saw everything fall into place, some of the anxiety was removed. It was kind of like, oh, okay, it's not the worst thing in the world. It was kind of good. So give me your thoughts on the fans' reaction about the schedules and about the season overall.
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head there. Last year, all that angst, all the talk about, you know, this schedule is all screwed up, that was all before that EPC championship day. And when that EPC championship day came, I think the fans and the coaches saw those dual meets that weren't scheduled happen on the EPC championship day that they wanted to see. So then the big picture kind of came together for the fans and the coaches, and it was kind of one of those aha moments, like, aha, this is how it's supposed to work. Mm-hmm. So I think going into this year, you know, the fans and the coaches now seeing the big picture understand that this EPC championship day is coming up in last Saturday in January, and we're going to get to see some of those dual meets that we haven't seen this season on Saturday. Also, the schedule that was made, that was a two-year schedule. So we're in the second year of that two-year schedule. Mm-hmm. So the coaches have that in the back of their minds, and they know that there's going to be some changes going into next year. So that kind of eased the angst amongst the coaches as well.
Yeah. Tom, this is your first year on the beat, full-time wrestling, but yes. What are your thoughts on the season overall and some of the reactions you've gotten from some of the wrestling fans in the area?
Well, I don't think there's been a lot of surprises this year. I think when you went into the season, you knew who the heavy hitters were going to be. Mm-hmm. And going into their tournaments this weekend, there's been no change. Saucon Valley has dominated the Colonial League, and Bethlehem Catholic and Nazareth are the two premier teams in the EPC, and we're going to see them actually wrestle, which they didn't do in the regular season, so we'll get to see them wrestle on Saturday night. I think that's a great thing. I think everybody's hoping that we'll see them in a couple of weeks down at Hershey wrestling each other for what will be team title. Could happen. Those teams are very deep. And if they're healthy, they've got a great chance to get there. And I think fans, again, they want to see those premier matchups. Mm-hmm. We got lucky this year. Nazareth and Northampton filled in an open spot with each other to kind of cover up that. So I think as long as those fans get those matchups, they'll be happy with the rest of the schedule.
And how tough is that to put the rankings together? I know that's a lot of work. I remember Ted Meixel, when he retired being a full-time writer, I said, what's the hardest part of being a writer? He said, without question, it's compiling the rankings each week. And you've been doing a great job with that every week. So how's that been?
Well, Mark Wogren has reminded me, a colleague of mine who did them for a couple of years, he said, Sunday and Monday were my worst days of the week for the year.
Yeah.
He said, simply because I had to just put these rankings together. And for the most part, I mean, believe it or not, the fans, the parents are pretty good about it.
Oh, that's good.
You know, if you get a record wrong,
they
politely send you an email. I mean, they've been really great. The coaches, all they care about really is what's going to happen in February, March, anyway.
Right, yeah.
And as long as you're not egregiously missing kids from the rankings, they're cool about it, too. So it's fun. It gives people a little discussion. Some of the wrestlers kind of take it personally, which is good. I mean, you shouldn't need rankings to get fired up if you're a wrestler anyway. But if it adds a little bit to a potential matchup in a dual meet or something, go for it.
It helps, Tim. You know, seeing your name in the paper with that number two or number one or number three ranking, I mean, you get excited about that as a wrestler. And like you say, at the end of the day, you know in the back of your mind it's not about rankings. It's about what you do out on the mat, how you perform. But the rankings help. Trust me, the rankings. No. So thank you for your efforts on that.
No question.
Much appreciated.
Especially when you're at a match and one's versus two or two versus three and something like that. You can get some payback too. Yeah. But as Jim will attest to, wrestling fans are the smartest fans of any sports team in this area, right? I think you'd agree with that.
They don't miss a trick. I think we have a pretty well-educated wrestling area.
No
question. You know, this District 11 has been a hotbed for the sport of wrestling since as far back as I can remember. So the fans, you know, they understand the sport of wrestling. They understand the subtleties and the nuances that go on in a high school wrestling match, and they appreciate that. So, you know, high wrestling IQ with the local fans, yeah.
Previously, I'd covered wrestling at District 2 and in District 4. So when that was the regional setup here down here in Liberty, I'd come down here and just my eyes open to not only the amount of fans, but their knowledge. And then obviously the dominance of District 11 over those two districts at the time was a real shocker to me. I'm thinking, oh, this kid looks good, and then he comes down here and you know, he can't get out of regionals because they're just the depth here at every weight class was so good. So it's nice to be covering District 11 wrestling.
Yeah, and the depth is a big key because in this area you can have so many good wrestlers that won't even advance to the next level. And I'm glad a couple years ago they advanced or they expanded to two teams that move on. But I mean that's tough too when you're wrestling in this area. It's great because you have all this coverage, you have all this this competition. But a lot of times there's some good wrestlers in this area that may not ever get to a state tournament.
Yeah, and you know you mentioned that Northeast Regional Tournament, Tom, and boy, that was a dogfight when they only qualified the top three to go from the Northeast Regional Tournament out to Hershey. And then the PIAA a couple years ago decided to expand that the number of participants in the weight class in each weight class at the state tournament from 16 to 20. And then the Northeast region was able to qualify four. So it's made it a little bit less of a challenge to qualify for that state tournament. Mm-hmm. But like you said, Chris, the talent pool in every weight class is so deep in this area, whether it's AA or AAA. You have to be an elite wrestler to qualify for that state tournament in March to get out of that Northeast Regional Tournament. Yeah,
there were some great matchups for third and fourth place when there were only top three going. That would be the match as opposed to the championship because those two were already guaranteed to go on. That third place match was tough.
Yeah, that final consolation round, that was like the one that you wanted to watch if you were a wrestling fan because you knew there were going to be some knockdown dragouts, you know, in that consolation round. Yep.
I wanted to go through and mention some different teams and then get your thoughts on the teams and individual performances as you've seen them. I'll start with Nazareth because they got Sammy Sasso, Travis Stefanik, and one of the nicest guys in the area on a very short list, Dave Kroll, the head coach there, who's been on our show several times. But Nazareth, obviously, we're going to see them Saturday. It's on RCN. You'll be covering it for the morning call. Your thoughts on the Blue Eagles this year and some of their wrestlers?
Yeah. Really balanced lineup from 106 up to heavyweight. I mean, you mentioned Sammy Sasso and Travis Stefanik, who are two of their superstars. And, oh, yeah, by the way, they have a guy named Brock Wilson, who just happened to be in the state finals last year. He kind of stays under the radar,
amazing
Brock
how does that.
And I think he likes that, actually. He likes that role. But, you know, when I look at their lineup, I just see balance from bottom to top. Now, they haven't wrestled at full strength for a couple weeks now because they've had a couple guys dinged up. And I think, you know, Coach Kroll, being as experienced as he is, knows to kind of sit those guys and make sure that they're rested and healed before he puts them back out on the mat. But when they can get all of their bullets in the gun, so to speak, they're going to be tough to beat. And I know you asked me before the show, do I think that they have a shot against Bethlehem Catholic? Absolutely. If they have their full lineup, I think they're going to go toe-to-toe with Bethlehem Catholic.
Yeah, if Anderson Iglia comes back, 13-pounder, and maybe he'll drop to six if he's healthy. If he comes back in the lineup, it just really changes the dynamic of that lower weights because you know they've got a kid in Sean Pearson who was 30-7 last year, couldn't crack the postseason lineup because they were so deep at the lower weights.
Right.
He was hurt for a bit. He comes back. Luckily, there's a spot now. I mean, they've got some versatility to get him through the regular season. But, again, if they're at full strength, they're a pretty darn good team. And, again, it's not crazy talk to think that they could be in the state final opposite Bethlehem Catholic. They're that good.
Right.
Yep. Now, Bethlehem Catholic, they've had a couple losses. And every time you see a Becca wrestling loss, you can wow, this has got to be, like, premier wrestling program in the country. Jim, we were talking about that before the show started. They were two powerhouse teams that they lost to. They're playing tonight. And now they come back about 48 hours and they'll face Nazareth in the championship. So how do you see Becca going through the losses last week wrestling tonight and then coming back on Saturday?
Well, first of all, I credit their coach, Jeff Caron, for, you know, going out and scheduling that high-level competition. When you say they had losses, yeah, they had losses to some of the top-ranked high school age wrestling teams in the country. And I say high school age because you're talking prep schools, you know, schools that don't necessarily compete with other public schools on a week-in, week-out basis. But, you know, I think what Jeff had in the back of his mind when he scheduled those matches was, you know, whether we win or lose, we're going to gain experience along the way. So when we get to this point where we're wrestling some of the top teams in District 11, we're going to be prepared. There's not going to be any shocks coming our way. Mm-hmm. So smart move on Jeff Caron's part, and I think he's going to have his team ready to go on Saturday and the following week at the district duels.
Beck is always – oh, go ahead, Tom.
I was going to say, he's another one that's – he hasn't had a full lineup in a while.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, he's missing – Cole Handlevik is done for the year, breaks his leg wrestling Northampton. Kolbov kind of got a scramble toward the end, edge of the mat. And, he was hurt instantly, and you know, felt bad for the kid. There was a promising young kid that was really going to be a force in the future and still will be. He's got another kid out for personal problems. He's got Ryan Anderson just getting back. He wrestled for the first time in 3 weeks on Sunday Who's Number One. Won both of his match handily. I mean, he's a tough kid at 120 or 126. Zach Glenn, who's been hurt off and on this year, he got back, and he had a super week last week. He really looked like he was in postseason form. So, again, Bethlehem Catholic may have some blemishes on their mark, but again, they're going to be better for it in the next couple of weeks.
Another interesting team, I think, this year was Northampton. I was over at Northampton for another sport a couple days prior to the big Northampton-Nazareth match, and everybody was a buzz about it. We finally get to play Nazareth. This is going to be a great wrestling match. Jim, you had the call. I believe, Tom, you were there for that. So your thoughts about that matchup, and what are the K-Kids' chances as a team and looking at some of their individuals they have this year, like Klebold, Moran, KJ, and so forth?
Those are three superstars that you would hope that they somehow could have gotten on the state stage when it comes to the team duels, but with only two teams going from District 11, Northampton's probably going to be that third team, that odd team out. Their program's definitely on the rise. Mm-hmm. You know, they've got some other young, quality kids. They had a freshman who got hurt and is probably done for the year in practice, the last 15 seconds of a practice before Escape the Rock a few weeks ago, and Joey T. Well, now they throw in a sophomore. He wrestles against Nazareth, a kid, a seasoned freshman, who was pretty good in Andrew Smith. Yeah. And Sam Hanley finds a way to beat him. I mean, that's just a sign of they've got some depth going. Again, they've got some issues at the top weight classes where they give away a lot of points to Bethlehem Catholic for sure, and to Nazareth. And Nazareth, that's where Nazareth won that match, I thought. Where the match started was up in the upper weights. They took advantage of those not to say mismatches, but they definitely had advantages there.
Yeah. It's not out of the question for Northampton to knock off Nazareth, and they'll probably meet in the semifinal round of the district duels, pending the outcome of the Bethlehem Catholic-Nazareth match on Saturday night. Mm-hmm. But the stars would have to align. Everything would have to go right. And pretty much everything went right for them, you know, last week when they wrestled against Nazareth. I mean, they had a couple matches that, you know, could have gone either way, those toss-up matches. And if Northampton can reverse the outcome of those matches, you know, they stand a shot at winning that dual meet. But then everything else has to align for them. You know, they can't lose any of the other toss-ups, so to speak. And like you said, you know, Nazareth is probably going to come into that district dual meet tournament with a little bit more of a solid lineup than they presented last Thursday when they wrestled Northampton.
One other individual I wanted to ask you about was Luke Warner at Liberty. Set the school's all-time mark for wins, which is an extraordinary accomplishment considering how many great wrestlers they've had at Liberty over the years. Your thoughts on him, and what are Liberty's chances as far as any other individuals that could make some noise in the tournaments?
Well, I love the job that Jody Karam does over at Liberty. You know, he just year in, year out, takes a team that's average on paper at the beginning of the year and progresses them throughout the year to the point where they're competing with the big boys, so to speak, at the end of the year. And they had a big dual meet win against Easton last week, and we covered that. And Easton has a solid team, and Liberty just came out firing on all cylinders and really took it to Easton. But, you know, going back to Luke Warner, I just love watching him wrestle. He's active. He's always trying to score points. He takes risks, and sometimes those risks backfire on him. And he knows that, but he's willing to go out there and take risks. And he's the type of kid, and I know I said this, you know, during one of our broadcasts, I think it was the Easton match last week. He's the type of kid that if he gets hot at the right time of the season, the right time being the postseason, he could find himself in the semifinals or even the finals of a state tournament at, you know, 120 pounds. He's that good. So I like watching Luke wrestle.
And he's a super nice kid who really works hard. He's the definition of what you want a student athlete to be. You know what I mean? He's you know, he doesn't cut corners looking for, you know, easy ways to make things work. He's a really nice kid. And again, you look at 120 pounds, potentially that has to be an incredible weight, could be an incredible weight class just at the district, let alone states, because of the fact that you have a superstar in Spencer Lee. Going to be 126, so there's going to be a lot of drops. You know, Julian Claveau is going to come down to 120. Who else is going to drop? That's going to be a fantastic weight class to watch. Whoever wins districts may not win regionals. Whoever wins regionals may not win states. It could be real fun for District 11.
Our special in-studio guests are Tom Houstick from The Morning Call, wrestling writer, and Jim Best, a wrestling analyst for RCN-TV. We're going to take a break, be back with another special guest on the phone line to talk some wrestling, some college basketball talk later on tonight. But right now it is time for a trivia to give you a chance to win tonight's special prize. And it does involve the sport of wrestling. 25 years ago tomorrow, or January 30th, if you're watching us on demand or listening to our podcast, Easton earned its 50th wrestling victory. Over what team did they defeat? So again, on January 30th, 25 years ago tomorrow, the Easton wrestling team earned its 500th team victory. Over what team did they defeat for their historic win? Here's some more information on how and what you can win.
You could win a $10 gift certificate to use to see the latest movies and the hottest music, sports, and pay-per-view events on RCN On Demand. You can only win one gift certificate every 4 months, but if you haven't won a prize in the last 30 days, you may be able to win another great prize. Call or email us right now with your trivia response. Callers get priority. But if we don't get a caller with the correct answer during tonight's live sports talk show, we'll take all email responses and conduct a random drawing on our next live show to determine the winner. Watching the show on replay or VOD? Send us your guess now, and you just might win an RCN On Demand $10 certificate. Good luck with sports talk trivia.
Welcome back to RCN Sports Talk, presented by The Morning Call. Our special in-studio guest, Tom Houstick of The Morning Call, Jim Best from the RCN Wrestling Department. And joining us on the phone line, Richard King. He's a former wrestler, but he's also the creator and editor and doing a great job with a new website, LehighValleyWrestlingHistory.com. We want to talk with him about. Rich, thanks so much for joining us, and welcome to Sports Talk.
Hi, Chris. Thanks a lot for having me on the show.
Oh, it's our pleasure. I enjoyed talking with you the other day. Glad you could spend some time with us here tonight. For people that don't know, you have a website out there that talks about history in the Lehigh Valley, some great stories, some great facts. I know wrestling fans, if they haven't found it already, are going to love this. So why don't you tell people a little bit about what's on the website and what precipitated this idea?
Okay, sure. Yeah, the site basically goes back and gives the background of how the early pioneers started the first wrestling programs in the Lehigh Valley, including the impact of Billy Sheridan and Lehigh. And we really begin to go into a lot more detail on the site and tell the story of when the Lehigh Valley League was first formed in 1950.
Yeah.
And then we'll go pretty much year by year and give a complete recap of the regular season, the league champions, the postseason of each of the years, and really kind of follow along the growth of wrestling, you know, during that time, and the early, you know, the early coaches, wrestlers, and teams who really made wrestling great here in the Lehigh Valley.
I want to go back for just a little bit and ask you about your history, because I know you were a wrestler at Allen. Your dad was a coach at Deerhoff, so I bet that was an interesting relationship. But where did your passion for wrestling start from, and, you know, what gave you the idea to start this website?
Well, as you said, Chris, I'm a coach's son, so with that, I've been around wrestling my entire life. Mm-hmm. My dad wrestled for Glenn Smith at Allentown High School in the 50s and then coached at Deerhoff in the 60s and the early 70s. So over the years, I've heard many stories about those early times in wrestling. A few years ago, my dad passed away, and then other coaches, legendary coaches like Ray Nunnemaker, Tony Iozzella passed away. Yeah. And I started researching how wrestling began and grew in the Valley. And just really, the more I dug in, the more interested I became because, you know, the stories of the rivalries during that time, some of the individual wrestlers, you know, it just was, you know, just fantastic information and fascinating. And I just felt like it was a story worth telling. And I felt that somebody had to tell the story. And that's really what led to the website.
And I know you thought about writing a book, which I still think would be a great idea someday, but I know you wanted to put it on the web to make it interactive so that people can see it, you can have it evolve, you can add stories to it, and you know you can have it change and build over time. So could you talk about that process, about how you got it started, and how has that interactivity gone with some of the wrestling fans in this area?
Sure. Yeah, it started out by really researching on microfilm and old newspaper articles and online yearbooks and sources, but over the last few months, I've been interviewing former coaches and wrestlers and fans and really adding to the story. And, you know, that was really part of the intrigue for me was talking to the people who actually lived, you know, those stories. So the wrestling community has just been great. I've made a lot of new friends in this process, mm-hmm. gotten some great stories, photos for the site. I mean, just recently I got a whole set of photos and more information about the 1965-66 Allen High School team who won the East Penn League in the districts that year. So, you know, the idea is just to have a site that keeps growing, can, you know, add to the story and, you know, just continue to be dynamic and always expanding. Yeah. And, you know, I love to hear from, you know, folks with their stories and their photos and, you know, just really enjoy talking wrestling.
Rich, Jim Best here, and you know, I wanted to thank you, you know, on behalf of the District 11 Wrestling community for all the efforts that you put into that website. I've been out on the website. I've been looking at it. It's a great website for a wrestling fan and even a non-wrestling fan to learn, you know, something about the sport in this area. You know, I really want to applaud you on that research. I can't imagine how much time and effort you have put into gathering the facts that you've put on that website about, you know, the history of wrestling going back to the 1950s and 60s in this area. You know, being a product of District 11 wrestling in 1980 and then coming back to coach it in the 90s into the 2000s, certainly there was a lot of success with District 11, you know, wrestling through the 80s and the 90s and into the 2000s. But, you know, that success that District 11 had in the 60s and the 70s was, in my opinion, kind of under the radar and maybe even a little bit forgotten about. And you've brought that back to light. And we should really be proud of that time period as wrestling fans because there was some great wrestling going on in the district and in the Valley during that time period. We were producing NCAA champions, you know, guys that would go on to be NCAA champions multiple times and even Olympians. And those guys need that time period needs that type of credit that you're giving to it. So thank you. Again, on behalf of the District 11 wrestling community, your efforts are much appreciated.
Thanks, Jim. I really appreciate that. And, you know, you summed it up very well. That's exactly, you know, why I started the site. And again, the wrestlers of that time and the coaches, you know, a lot of the rivalries that we have today and some of the great wrestlers who went on to coach came from that time period.
Right. Absolutely. Thank you.
Rich, I know you have some great ideas about the short-term future of the website. You've spoken to some people, some of the movers and shakers and people that are actively involved in the wrestling community now that have some great stories to share. Do you mind giving us a little peek in what you're working on and what we'll be seeing on the website over the coming weeks and months, some of the people that will be featured and some of the authors of some of the stories that will be on the website?
Okay, sure. Yeah, the most recent story that we just published, actually Ross Nunnemaker wrote about his father, Ray Nunnemaker, who, mm-hmm. as you folks know, you know, just a legendary coach at Nazareth High School for 34 years, and Ross wrote a great story about his father's early years coaching and the keys to success. A couple things that we're working on right now, I interviewed Larry Sheridan about his father, Billy Sheridan, and the impact that he had on Lehigh Valley High School wrestling. And then also we're going to be working on just beginning really to research the 1970s. Mm-hmm. We'll be eventually expanding into some of those additional years and also just highlighting some great individual matchups. Like we have a story on the 1969 Phillipsburg Easton match, and we'll be doing more stories like that as well.
Mm-hmm. Rich, before we let you go, I know you're looking for people to get involved. You want to hear feedback. You want to hear from people maybe didn't even think of that could contribute some stories. Would you mind writing down your email address, your Facebook page, and touching on what would be the best way for people that would have an interest in this, maybe will have a short story for you? How can they get in contact with you?
I would say the best way is to email me, and I have an email address that's lvwrestlinghistory@rcn.com. Mm-hmm. We also have a Facebook page, and that's facebook.com/Lehigh Valley Wrestling History. And there's also a link on that Facebook page to the website as well as to my email address.
All right, very good. Rich, thanks so much for spending some time with us, and congratulations on a great job already and a great idea for wrestling fans in the area.
Okay, thanks so much, Chris. I really appreciate it.
All right, that's Richard King from LehighValleyWrestlingHistory.com. Make sure you check out that website. I know wrestling fans in this area are going to love seeing some of those stories
there.
Before we get to our next break, though, I want to ask you a little bit about the Colonial League. Tom, you had some great stories, in particular over the last couple weeks, about teams like Wilson and Notre Dame. Saucon Valley has just continued to be dominant. We've had them on our show a couple times over the recent years, and it looks like they're going to be another solid team again, one of the smaller schools officially, but I think they're going to have some great success in the postseason again.
There's no doubt. Saucon Valley has talent top to bottom again for the mm-hmm. Colonial League. To not forfeit a match is big.
Yeah.
You talk about a team, Notre Dame, they've got six really quality wrestlers, mm-hmm. but they also give away three or four matches depending on if the flu's going through the team, which it just did this week. So again, some good individual matchups you get with some of these teams, and I think the Bangor-Wilson semifinal will be very competitive. It was very good to open up the dual meet season. I think Wilson's younger kids now a little more seasoned, that could go the other way. But again, those are two teams that also can fill out 14 weight classes. That's why they're there. Mm-hmm. They're not just giving away points. And again, Saucon Valley doesn't not only give away points, they've got a quality wrestler
right.
at every weight class. And they've got some kids who haven't been in the lineup that they get thrown in there, like a freshman Thomas Spurk gets thrown in there last week, and he's dominant. So they've got some kids waiting in the wings for some of these upperclassmen to move on. Again, that's the sign of a really good program, and Saucon's got it going for sure.
All right, I want to touch on some more of the smaller schools and Colonial League schools in just a moment, but we're up against a break and a time for our timeout feature of the evening. Both Central Catholic and Moravian Academy's swimming programs have been having a successful winter season, and a few records were shattered when they faced each other recently. The Sports Talk cameras were on hand for the meet and some interviews afterwards.
Today, I think the girls really showed out our true potential and how strong we feel about swimming, and I think we all really focused in and knew what we had to do and did it.
Very happy with both team performances. The boys and girls really went into this meet with a lot of focus, and we saw a lot of little things that were done right. I saw a lot of really great finishes on both the boys and the girls' side. Times aren't exactly where I want them to be at the end of the season, but very happy with the way that they finished races and executed them overall.
We came together. We've had a really hard set of practices recently, so collectively the girls did really well. The guys did even better, so I'm really proud of them. Individually, I would have liked to be a little bit faster, but maybe next meet.
Today's performance from Kira Manson was outstanding. She broke two of her own personal records and team records today. Kira just is such a delight to work with because she is always ready to race. Every day that she shows up, she gives a top performance. So I'm delighted for her as a senior to see her times dropping and to see her achieving the goals that she set for herself.
I was very happy with today's performance because I broke two of my own records. Yeah, I wasn't expecting to break my own records, so it was great.
Our team goals is for the girls team. We want to achieve the same results or better results than we did at districts last year. Obviously, our top swimmers, Kira and Kaylee, for example, really want to be district champions again. They want to get individual golds if possible. Definitely we want to be on the medal stand for a team. Last year we came in second to Southern Lehigh. Obviously you saw today that Allentown Central is one of our biggest competitors, and we'll be ready for that. We'll be shooting for that at the end. In terms of the boys, our goal is to keep our numbers up, keep our enthusiasm going, and get strong district performances.
We have some good season highlights, a lot of good individual wins, some good relay wins. Our senior Gabe Castano has broken several pool records so far, and he's just become an extremely versatile swimmer. That his two best events, the 50 free and the 100 free, they're still fantastic, but the fact that I can put him in any individual event and know that he's going to go a fantastic time really, really helps with the team, that I have a swimmer that can be so flexible and be moved into whatever event his boys team needs for him to win.
We had a couple wins that were unexpected. A couple of guys stepped up, and they had a really good race, so really proud of them, and hopefully we can keep that going for the rest of the meet this season.
Lastly, I would like to say to the Moravian team and community that they have really put forth a great effort this year. I am delighted that they show up at 6 a.m. practices, and they work hard year-round, and I just want us to keep up the good work.
The next meet should be pretty competitive on both the boys' and the girls' sides, and it's very good because we want to have good momentum going into districts and remain positive and remain focused.
Welcome back to RCN Sports Talk, presented by The Morning Call. Our special in-studio guest, Jim Best from RCN, Tom Hausnick from The Morning Call. Keith Grohler off this week. He will be back next week. We're talking wrestling and some college basketball talk coming up in just a few minutes. But I wanted to continue with the Colonial League talk. You know, Wilson was a team, Jim, we were talking, and I know you've covered them and done some stories on them. Wilson has two, or at least two, really good young wrestlers. And I know they were a powerhouse wrestling team years ago. Could this be the start of a resurgence in the Wilson program? Could we, you know, see them moving back into the upper echelon like they used to be in the years when Scott Barr and other great wrestlers came out of Wilson? Tom, what's your thoughts on
that? I don't think there's any question. I mean, their best wrestlers are either freshmen or sophomores, mm-hmm. with the exception of John Consorti, which, you know, and they're all in the same kind of group with the lower weights, and you figure they're going to mature and spread out, and then the next wave of younger kids are going to come in. And I think, you know, they've got some younger junior high kids that are ready to be stepping in like some of these guys have this year. And you watch them, they're fun to watch. They're exciting. They're not, you know, they don't seem tentative, although there was some tentativeness against Saucon Valley. That's to be expected. Oh, yeah. But for the most part, they've wrestled pretty free and easy and have taken risks and gone after upperclassmen and done pretty well. And again, I think that's a good thing. The more depth you can have to the league, it's only going to help teams like a Saucon Valley down the line. And then eventually Wilson will be in that same position when they go to states. It's going to be a regular thing.
Yeah. By the way, Jim, you saw Chris Ziafalfa's chair over there when I said Scott Barr was a great wrestler. You're going to pay for that, Chris. Make sure he hears about that on Saturday when you have the EPC challenge. Any other Colonial League teams? I know Bangor, they're having a bit of a resurgence too. Any other smaller school wrestlers that you'd like to identify or talk about before we get back to the EPC?
One jumps out at me, Jared Mooney at Palmerton. He just won his 100th match. He has dominated everybody. He's either won by forfeit fall or tech fall. The entire season. He's gone up as far as 220 to try and get a quality match. I know we did that against Catasauqua, which had a good kid in Ben Nozzle up there, and he pinned him. Mm-hmm. He's a kid who's going to be a force in the postseason, but again, it's the kind of kid you worry about because he doesn't get the exposure of the tournaments that Saucon Valley does take advantage of, even if it's just the Bethlehem Holiday Classic or Saucon Valley goes to the Beast of the East. He hasn't gotten that exposure. And then you get to a tournament where you have three or four tough matches in a row in a short period of time. Some other factors come into it other than just pure talent. This kid is really talented. He can definitely challenge for a state championship. You just wonder if the competition is preparing him for it at his particular weight class.
All right.
Good kid, though.
Looking at the EPC challenge, again, it's on Saturday. Jim and Scott will have the call of the championship. But starting with round one, Dieruff and Pocono Mount East, Pocono Mount West and Allen and East Stroudsburg North versus Central Catholic take place the first round of events. And then you have Freedom versus Stroudsburg, Emmaus versus East Stroudsburg South, and Whitehall versus Pleasant Valley in round two. Northampton versus Liberty in round three, along with Parkland and Easton. That's a third place match and fifth place match. And the change, Jim, you know, you were at last year, is they had the 1, 2, and 3 all going at the same time, and no one could really sink their teeth into the championship. I think that was one good change. The championship will be all by itself, Nazareth versus Bethlehem Catholic. So, Tom and Jim, your thoughts on EPC Challenge Day and, of course, the championship.
Yeah, I think we're going to see some great dual meets really throughout the day. Of course, some of the earlier dual meets, you're talking about teams that can't field those, you know, 14 weight classes, so we'll see some forfeits. But, you know, just looking at that schedule as the day goes on, you know, you get to round three, and I, for one, was really looking forward to seeing a Northampton and Liberty matchup, because I think those two teams, just the way, you know, the dynamics of those two teams, Liberty being really balanced, Northampton having those superstars, I think it's going to make for a great dual meet. Anytime Parkland and Easton lock horns, it makes for a great dual meet. And then the one that we've all been anticipating here for a couple of months, Nazareth and Bethlehem Catholic. And that, like you said, Chris, being the feature match, you know, all the eyes on that dual meet. I just anticipate that it's going to be a really neat wrestling environment.
That's a good chance, too, for some good wrestlers to get a lot of competition, to kind of get them prepared for what's coming up in a few weeks individually. There's some guys on the cusp of taking that next step for those teams, in particular at Liberty, Northampton, Parkland, and Easton, that, you know, this is going to help them when it comes time to facing Nazareth and Beck in the individual districts and regionals. So it's going to be a fun event. There's no question.
That's a great point. All right, it's time for the roundtable part of our show. The roundtable is where we have a variety of different topics that we throw at our guests. They don't know what's coming prior to their arrival in the studio. And as always, you can weigh in with email or on social media, especially if you're listening to us on a podcast or watching us on demand or online at themorningcall.com. All right, topic number one, early Super Bowl predictions. Atlanta Falcons, New England Patriots, who do you like? Tom, we'll start with you. Who's going to win the following Sunday?
Patriots big.
Patriots big.
Big.
Oh, okay. Are you a Brady fan?
I'm sad to say I'm a Minnesota Vikings fan, but Tom Brady is too darn good.
Sorry to say
that. So, yeah. Well, you're bringing up the Atlanta Falcons. They put a dagger in my heart in the late 90s when the Vikings had the best team in the NFL, and the Falcons beat them in overtime, thanks to a missed extra point, I believe, in regulation by the Vikings, or a missed field goal. Either way, Falcons, it's a nice story, but I think that's the end of the road for them. The Patriots, too deep, too balanced, too talented, coaching staff. They've got it all on their side, I think.
All right. Jim, you know everything in wrestling, but I'm testing your limits.
I'm not, obviously not as football educated as Tom is over here, but I just feel like the Falcons are one of those teams that's playing with a great deal of confidence right now and a great deal of momentum. They believe in themselves. You know, I'm looking ahead in a little over a week saying, I think we're going to see a changing of the guard, so to speak, and the Atlanta Falcons be Super Bowl champions.
Maybe Matt Ryan and Julio Jones steal another one from the Patriots with a great performance from the two of them. That'd be fun to watch.
Yeah. He has a toe injury now. Everyone's all upset because his big toe was hurting him. Something like that. Like, he wouldn't play in the Super Bowl because of a toe injury.
Really. All right.
Topic number two, what's your favorite wrestling moment of the season so far? With probably a lot more coming, but so far, Jim, what has stood out in your mind?
I alluded to it, you know, earlier on the show. You know, watching the Liberty Hurricanes, you know, even going back to when we covered them against Nazareth before the holiday break, I thought they were very competitive, heavily outmatched in that dual meet, but very competitive against Nazareth. They were gamers, as I like to call them. Every guy went out there for the Liberty Hurricanes, and they competed. And then to see that progression, to see that growth as they wrestled Easton last week, that's my favorite wrestling story right now, that the progression of the Liberty Hurricanes.
Very good. Tom, how about you? Favorite story?
I enjoy the fact that Saucon Valley just tries to find themselves the toughest matches they can find, starting right off the bat in December. They go down to the Beasties, and those kids, when they walk away from a match losing, they're not happy. They're not going there saying, hey, we came down here, we had fun, let's go home. They're genuinely unhappy the fact that they didn't either place or place higher. And I saw that face repeatedly on several wrestlers, and I thought, you know, Chad Shirk's doing it right. And, you know, he's gotten some criticism maybe for overstepping, you know, overreaching with the program, but he realized the point he's at now, and the next step is to compete against that kind of level of competition, regardless of the size of the schools of these kids or the programs, whether it be prep schools or whatever. And, you know, and going to the holiday at Liberty a couple weeks later, I think that's great. Yeah. Again, more competition against top-level kids from Bethlehem Catholic, Nazareth, et cetera. It's only going to help them right now moving forward.
It's great to see him develop that, because he was on our show very early in his career, and he said he wanted to do that. And, you know, there's people in the EPC who are like, oh, come on, you know, you can't compete with the bigger boys. But it's nice that he has built that program. And you're right, sooner or later, they're going to take that next step, I think.
There's some curiosity to think how would they do this particular team that he has. How would they do in the EPC? I don't think they'd embarrass themselves.
No, absolutely not. You know? They'd hold their own.
Absolutely.
And then some.
Yeah. They're tough kids there, and that comes from that coaching staff, no doubt.
Yeah.
All right, topic number three, what should the NFL do this weekend? Should they have the Pro Bowl? Should they have that fantasy rotisserie type thing they did last year? Should they just get it over with and have the Super Bowl this week? Or what do you think they should do? Jim, what do you think the NFL should do?
We talked about it a little bit earlier. I think they should break out
wrestling
sneakers, and they should lace up those wrestling sneakers and have at it. You know, and you might be surprised how many of those football players have some wrestling background. They know what a two-point takedown is because quite a few football players have had some wrestling background at some point in time in their lives. In all seriousness, I'd love to see them just play the Super Bowl. You know, what's with the week off? I mean, just keep the ball rolling, so to speak, and play the game.
I like the wrestling idea now. I think you can talk me into it. Tom, what should the NFL do?
Play the Super Bowl, get the season over with. It's too long. I'm already disinterested. I'm already into the winter sports. Let's go.
You don't like the media day where people dressed up as bananas and are interviewing Tom Brady and that type of stuff?
I think the players would, to a person, say, let's just play this.
Yeah, absolutely.
Stay on our regular schedule and get it over with.
Yeah, they have lives. They want to get on with their life outside of football, at least for a couple of months.
You got to pitch that wrestling idea. All right, my thanks to Tom Houselick of The Morning Call, Jim Best. Make sure you follow Tom on Saturday with his coverage of the EPC Championship. Championship itself will be on RCN. Jim and Scott will have the call of that. So thanks, gentlemen, for coming in tonight.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
All right, also we have high school basketball coming your way. Friday night, Freedom versus Nazareth will be the live game with Gary and Tom. And then Central Catholic versus Bethlehem Catholic will be the tape delay game. Coming up next, we taped an interview a little earlier with Rodney Williams, a standout basketball athlete down in the DMV area, now playing at Drexel and making a name for himself playing in the CAA and the City 6 series. So that's coming up right after this time. Welcome back to Sports Talk, and we're very pleased to be joined by the outstanding senior forward of the Drexel men's basketball team, Rodney Williams. Rodney, thanks for joining us, and welcome to Sports Talk this evening.
No problem. Happy to be here.
It's our pleasure. First of all, it's another great season for you. You're posting up great individual numbers once again this year. I've watched a bunch of your games. The league is very tough this year. Could you talk about how your season is going, both from an individual standpoint and as a team?
Once again, the CAA has been the top league, and, you can see that, transform this year. But personally, individually, I've been doing pretty well. I stayed back all summer just to work on my game, and, it's showing in the stats and different things. And I'm just doing well, so I'm just going to continue to try to keep doing the same things, keep staying in the gym, and just keep progressing. Mm-hmm. And from a team standpoint, we're just in a transition year right now. We're coming off a season where we lost our coach last year, and we have a new head man in Zach Spiker, so we're just trying to listen to him and trust the process of what we're doing and, eventually turn this program into, a consistent winning program. You can see flashes of what we're trying to do and where we're going, and I think, we've been fine so far. The league is tough, but, in these next couple of months, we're going to be pretty good.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that. How has that transition been like? And, you deserve some credit for being one of the leaders holding the team together during that transition. And, how nice is it to see that you're the base of something that's probably going to have a lot of success down the road?
I wouldn't say the face, but, I did my job as trying to be, the middleman. When Coach Spiker got hired, I immediately called him and told him, I'm here for you. I'm your senior leader. And, whatever you need as far as, reaching out to the players before and, just trying to be that guy in the gap to help this transition, to be as smooth as possible. And I think I've done that pretty well, pretty good job of that. The guys, we have a lot of older guys, and they were able to adjust. So we're just trying to make the best of it. And, a lot of times it's hard learning a new system and being around new people. But, we seem to adjust it well. We're right in the thick of it. And if we just keep progressing, keep practicing, we're going to be pretty good.
I want to go back for a second and just ask you a little bit about your high school days. And were there any games, I'm sure there's some that stick out in your mind, and could you talk about the level of play down in the DMV area in general?
Oh, just, you know, it's a great place for basketball. I've had a lot of great times there. And I remember specifically a game where we were playing Christchurch, and they had Devin Robson, which is now in Florida. Mm-hmm. A good friend of mine, and I ended up scoring 42 points in that game. And it just, you know, it just speaks to the level of the basketball talent down there, and you know what people are able to accomplish. If you just look around that area, there's a lot of great players that come out of there. And you know, it's just, I'm happy to be from that area, and it's just great basketball in Virginia and in the surrounding areas. And those are good times.
Yeah. Now, you started, when you got to Drexel, you started as a freshman. So could you talk about how the level of play you faced in high school got you ready to not only have success, you were named to the all-rookie team, but, you know, you were one of the outstanding players as an underclassman. Did your high school play and the level of play at the high school level prepare you to play at the Division I level as quickly and as good as you you did at Drexel?
Yeah, I would definitely say that being from the area, you're going to play against talent night in and night out. And you know, I believe that gave me, you know, the confidence to know that I can play well at that level, that I'll be able to do fine at the Division I level, mm-hmm. playing with a bunch of Division I guys night in and night out. So I definitely think that contributed to my success from that point as a freshman till now. And you'll only see that, you know, coming from players out of that area consistently from days on till now. So you can see how the level of play translates to a lot of guys who come out of those areas, mm-hmm. and how well they're doing now in college.
Now, as a sophomore, you were off to a good start, and then you had a foot injury, which sidelined you. How much did that kind of hurt your sophomore campaign and take a while to kind of rejuvenate and get back in the swing of things before you finished the year strong?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely, you know, stagnated me. I was coming off a, you know, pretty good freshman year, and I was looking forward to just, you know, adding to that and, you know, being sidelined with an injury. Has its pluses and minuses. You know, of course, I wanted to be out there with my teammates, but it did give me a chance to, you know, sit down and see the court from a different perspective, so that when I went back out there, I was able to actually, you know, play better than I thought I would. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it did, you know, have its setbacks, but ultimately I ended up, you know, finished out that year with higher stats than I did for my freshman season. Yeah. So just trying to build on that, and, you know, I learned a lot of things from that.
Now, your junior year, I talked to someone who sees you on a regular basis, and he was really impressed by your improvement overall and, in particular, your shooting ability. You ended up leading the team in scoring in league games and second on the team in scoring overall. Could you talk about that adjustment of moving from the sophomore to the junior year and what attributed to that great improvement you had in not just being a rim protector but also improving your shooting ability?
Well, yeah, you know, sophomore year, at the end of my sophomore year, we lost Damian Lee, who transferred. So I knew that I would have to step up in some capacity. So I just dedicated my time to being, you know, in the gym and trying to just hone my offensive game to try to account for the points they were losing with Damian. And although, like, the season didn't turn out the way I thought it would, individually I did, you know, become a better player, put in that extra time in, and, you know, I was able to put up better numbers than the past years. Mm-hmm.
Our special guest on the phone lines this segment is Rodney Williams, senior forward for the Drexel Dragons. I wanted to ask you about what's it like playing some of those great rivalries you have with the local teams. You had another competitive non-conference schedule. Penn, LaSalle, and St. Joe's were close games. You had a nice win over Delaware. Do you still get up? Is it still a little extra exciting to play some of those local rivals and build some friendships over the years and play those teams year in and year out?
Well, yeah, you know, it's definitely exciting. Being a school in Philadelphia, you know, you hear about the Big Five. We have great teams like Temple and Villanova, LaSalle, Penn. So, you know, when you're in a city school, you always want to, you know, protect your home, protect yourself. So there's always great energy when we're playing at Philadelphia school. And same goes out for Delaware. That's been one of the oldest rivalries in the CAA to this point. So, you know, every time we play those teams, it's just a special moment. And guys are always geared up for it. Me, myself, I just really appreciate the fact that I'm able to be a part of those games. So, like I said, anytime you play at Philly school, it's going to be great energy. And, you know, when it comes to Delaware, we're always ready for that.
Now, your next big ball game's coming up. You have Hofstra, then the University of Charleston coming up over the next couple of days. Could you talk a little bit about some of those keys in those games coming up? And what do you as a team have to do to try to continue to have success against those guys in the next couple games coming up?
Yeah, we really want to string these two games together. you know, this really big for us. We think that we can get these. And, you know, the key for us is just we have to guard. We have a lot of inexperience with our guards. We have two freshman guards who might have who are having a little trouble in this tough league. But consistently as a team, we just have to be in a stance, you know, the entire time, play the full possession out, and just guard. As you can see, we're scoring about 70-some points a game. So the offense isn't really the problem. It's just, you know, having, you know, being able to guard. And when it comes to this league and you're playing these teams, everybody knows what you're going to do. You know, night in and night out, it's going to be a battle. So it's going to come down to, you know, who wants it more on defense. So I think that if we lock in on defense, we should be fine in these games. And also with us being at home, we should be able to string two together.
All right, Rodney, before we let you go, I got to ask you, I know you're right in the middle of a great season. You're very focused on your games coming up, but a 6'7 guy, you can shoot. You're a great defender. You can protect the rim. You can play inside. Have you thought at all about what remains after this season and thoughts about playing at the pro level?
Oh, yeah, I mean, originally I was actually going out of my junior, the end of my junior season. I wasn't sure if I wanted to do something like that. I wasn't sure if I wanted to, you know, take this game professionally. But I had a talk with my family, and me and my father were talking about how, you know, you can't play forever. You can't just go back and play, you know, so you want to take advantage of the things you love now. And so I dedicated myself to, you know, being in the gym all this summer with the intentions to go play pro after this. And my game is really sprouted. I'm starting to, you know, gain a lot of attention. So I just want to keep, you know, doing what I'm doing, and I'm ready to take that opportunity on as it comes after the season. But the better we are this season, the better my chance is to you know, live that dream. So that's something that I'm really looking forward to doing.
Well, I think you're having a great season and certainly a lot of good times ahead. I think a lot of NBA teams would really benefit from having a guy of your service. But thanks so much, Rodney. Again, congratulations on a great season, and thanks so much for joining us on Sports Talk.
Thanks so much.
All right. Rodney Williams, the outstanding senior guard from the Drexel Dragons, also played and had a great high school career down in the DMV region, joining us for this segment. That'll do it for tonight's show. Our thanks to all of tonight's guests, and we'll see you next week with another live edition of Sports Talk. Until then, I'm Chris Michael. Good night, everyone.